www.joydara.org or at our postal service at P.O. Box 6006, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Or you can call us at 1-888-JOY-DARA. That's 1-888-563-3232. Again, that's 1-888-563-3232. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. May God bless you and yours.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
For the rest of this year, how to pray effectively. This short series that I did was entitled The Kingdom Culture of Prayer and Fasting. This year, our theme is Kingdom Culture Influence. Settle my mic, please, so I'm getting feedback. And one of the things that we need to do is stop treating prayer as something special. Peace and rice in the Bahamas is not special. Potato salad is not special. I shouldn't be talking about food yet. It's all right. I think the reason why they are not special is because they are considered a part of our culture. And prayer is supposed to be a part of the culture of the kingdom community. And so I want to focus on how to pray and quickly look at Jesus' own instructions concerning prayer, the principles of effective prayer. How to pray. The principles of effective prayer. If you follow this, this will help you. I also want to encourage you to get a copy of the Kingdom series to take a look at how to build a kingdom community. And we're going to focus on this year, the whole year, on how a community produces a culture. So I want to recommend that you really take advantage of reading all the books together. There are four books in the Kingdom series. And also there is a new product that just came out. And I don't have a copy of it here. I wish I did. But there's a new product that was just released by the publishing company. It's called the Kingdom Personal Study Kit. And it contains the Kingdom book, Rediscovering the Kingdom. It contains an annual journal for studying the Kingdom. It also contains a 3-cassette pack on the Kingdom. And all of them are in one package. So you can actually take this pack and study it. And you have audio and you have a study journal as well as a book. And it takes you through the principles of the kingdom. And if you're visiting us today, those are available for you today afterwards in the bookstore in the lobby. But for our members, I want you to get that first. It'll be a great Easter gift to give somebody as well, because it's a complete package for them to study the kingdom. But for yourself, you want to have that kind of package as well. And I'm very pleased that the publishing company did this, and I'm sure that they will be helpful to you. I also want to encourage you, as we continue in our prayer for the rest of the year, to take a look at this wonderful book called The Purpose and Power of Prayer Devotional. Go through that and study it every day. And then there's a prayer in that I put every day for you to pray. It keeps you in the focus of prayer. It also helps you to organize your devotional time for your family. And you can use this book to have devotion for your family, to pray around it as an altar. And the book also helps you to learn precepts and principles concerning prayer and how to implement those things in your life. This is the book I strongly urge you to read. Someone said to me on Friday night at the meeting, said that, Pastor Miles, people need to read this book. This book is deeper than I thought. It's my second time reading it, and I'm finally understanding some of it. I tell you, friends, I was reading it myself last night because I wanted to review a few things in it, and I got caught up in my own book and started getting excited. And I was reading the chapter on the 10 specific things you do to prepare for prayer. And because prayer, you don't just walk into God's presence. There's a protocol you have to go through. And I did research in the Bible to study God's requirements to enter his presence. And sometimes we think that it's just the blood of Jesus. It's not. There's protocols that you must understand to understand how to enter a king's presence to get effective response. And I am very pleased to tell you that this book has been on the bestsellers list for 6 months and still is, because people are buying the book on prayer. Benny Hinn has rated this his best book he's ever read on prayer, and he said it's the most practical. Well, I am very happy that people are beginning to study prayer at a different level, and that is understanding how it works. And I want you to take that book this next month and read it, study it, and apply it. I actually give you how-tos in the book, because I practice prayer daily in my life, and I know how important it is to understand how it works. As a matter of fact, today's teaching is to deal with a question, how to pray. I want to begin with a few statements you want to write down. How valuable is prayer? How important is prayer? The answer is in some statements that I want you to take a look at. Everything God is and has is available to mankind through prayer. It doesn't just happen. It has to come to us through prayer. So if you want access to what God has, which he wants you to have, matter of fact, it was he who says, no good thing will he withhold from anyone who walks uprightly. So all of his good things he wants you to have. But the access you use to get it is prayer. Secondly, there is a principle that I discovered recently, and that's the reason I'm talking about for the past 29 years of my life. Because when I grew up in the churches I grew up in, I never learned how to pray. They used to say, just talk to God. That's not true. Prayer is not just talking to God. I want to correct that today. There's a way to do prayer. And prayer doesn't just happen because you talk. Without prayer, God cannot, and without man, God won't do anything on the earth. And yet man can't get anything done on earth without God. So here's the principle. Without God, man cannot, and without man, God will not. God will not do anything on earth without man, and man can't do anything on earth without God. In other words, prayer is a corporate activity between heaven and earth, and man is God's strategy for prayer. Here's what I discovered. More work is done by prayer than work itself. Martin Luther, who was the famous Catholic priest who instigated the Protestant movement because of his faith that he discovered, said this. He said, the more work I have to do in the day, the more time I spend in prayer in the morning. What an attitude. The harder I must work in the day, the longer I pray in the morning, he says. No wonder why he changed the world. No wonder why it was his obedience to God that produced a global movement called Protestants. Because he was in the bowels of prayer. How did Martin Luther King get to this? Martin Luther King, forgive me. It just kind of comes off, doesn't it? How did this wonderful priest, Martin Luther, get to discover the revelations in the book of Romans chapter 1? It was that chapter he was reading, he says, and it exploded in his face, and he went and reported what he discovered to his bishop and got in trouble. Because when you are a man or woman of prayer, God reveals things to you. More work is done by prayer than work itself. Therefore, prayer is the key. Now, to understand prayer, here's some things that you need to know. First of all, the legal authority on earth is in the hands of humans. That means anything on earth that doesn't happen through a human is illegal. That's because, number two, God will never violate his laws that he created, and he will never break his word. God's word was, let the man have dominion over the earth. When God makes a law, he himself doesn't violate it. That is why he is called holy. He has integrity. He does not break his own law. And God's law was, humans are going to run the earth and they are going to rule the earth on my behalf. A human is a spirit in a dirt body. So the dirt body is the secret to legal power on earth. I repeat, the dirt body is what? The secret to what? The legal power on earth. Be present with the Lord. Why? You are no longer legal here. Let me give you a little motivation to pray for healing a little better. When you are physically challenged by any kind of challenge, pain or disease, don't ask God to heal you because you're hurting. Wrong reason. Ask God to heal you or deliver you from it because it is good for him. Lord, heal me because you need this. You know, I was telling you all when I had a little neck problem, a pinched nerve. And I went to the doctor, did all this stuff, all this stuff, and they started taking my money. One day home, looking at this pill cost $90. I said, okay, I got a choice here. Give God my money or keep spending it on this stuff. Your pastor got mad that day. You remember I came and told you I was healed. I told God, look, this body ain't no good to you like this. I have to go. You give me a schedule. You got to send me to go preach. Heal me now. I went to sleep, woke up, and got out of bed. And it was gone. I didn't say heal me so I can feel better. Your body is necessary for God. Let me quote a verse from the book of Corinthians chapter 6. Paul says, as food is for the stomach, and the stomach is made for food, even so the body was made for God, and God, this is the part I couldn't understand, is made for the body. That's in your Bible. How can God be made for a body? Because God made the body just for him. He knew he would need it. Glory, hallelujah. Lift your hand right now. Say, Lord, fix your access. Now, some of y'all don't know. See, let me tell you why I always just thank God for healing me. I don't wait till I get sick to get healed. Because sometimes when you're sick, it's because it finally showed up. It was there a long time ago. So don't sit there cute. Lift your hands right now and say, Lord, fix your vessel, even from secret disease in my body. Little growths I can't see yet, feel yet. Heal me now in Jesus' name for your sake. Give him a praise. Hallelujah. You heal me for your sake. Write this down, number three. Nothing will happen on earth without mankind. That's why God wants you to stay close to him. He don't want you to come to him because he wants you in heaven. He wants you to him because he needs you on earth. That's why God becomes very upset when you spend your time, this is the old statement, shucking and jiving, playing games, hanging out in nightclubs, discos, lapping up garbage, wasting your time with people who aren't doing it. He hates that. Why? Because he can't use you. and he needs you. God didn't redeem you because he is sorry for you. He redeemed you because he needs you. Hallelujah. I say, some of y'all are supposed to shout right there. You missed it. His redemption was for his sake. Glory, hallelujah. He redeemed you so he could use your access. Because he gave you the power to influence earth. Write this down. Number four. God cannot interfere in earth without the cooperation of a human. This is why God uses dependency terms when he talks about prayer. He uses conditions when he talks about prayer. He uses words like if, then. If, then. Why? Because if you don't do this, then I can't do that. If you don't do this, then I can't do that. He depends on us to get things done in the earth. And number five, very important. Man holds the power of license on earth. A lot of people got problems with this concept. But that is exactly why our prayers are not answered. Because we got problems with the concept. We believe that God can do anything on earth, anytime, anywhere, to anyone, in any way he feels like. Let me just make another statement. A sovereign God can sovereignly limit his sovereignty to make you sovereign. I'm going to say that slow. Get this CD. A sovereign God has the sovereign power to limit his sovereignty to make you sovereign. God is also sovereign enough to not break his own law. Lord have mercy. It's too deep. God is interesting. God loves you so much, he wants you to share his power. Let them have dominion. Let them feel what it feels like to dominate a territory like I dominate the universe. I want my kids to feel what daddy feels when he's in charge. Okay, let me say something very interesting. This is very important. Do you know that they have so far counted over 580 million planets? I'm sorry, galaxies. A galaxy is a collection of solar systems. We are only one of them in this solar system. We got 9 planets in our solar system. Every solar system has a sun with planets going around it. They discovered 500 million. Now, when you multiply that, that's billions of planets. Do you know that they have never, ever recorded 2 planets clashing? I want you to follow this now. Follow me carefully, please. Do you know why nothing clashes out there? That's his territory. Oh, Lord, I feel like running. He got his situation all organized. But when you look at what he left in our hands, we ain't doing a good job. So he says, tell you what, let me help y'all. Let me help you bring order to the planet. Give me permission to come in and bring order the way I handle in these planets out here. When you lock God out, collisions take place. When Adam kicked God out of the garden, then God kicked him out of his garden. First result, family on family crime. Two brothers clashed. One was killed. We have not survived it since. Who's killing our young men? Our young men. Who's raping our young women? Our young men. He says, let me in, please. Why? Because you were not designed to live without the designer. The earth is the Lord's. Man's declaration of authority to earth was given to us by God. Let's read Psalm 115, verse 15. And those of you at home, please get your Bibles. Those of you watching us, my daughter and son, I know you're watching us in Texas and New Jersey, and Antoine watching us, and Brother Chan watching us out there in California. God bless you all. They always call in and write in and tell us what they're doing. You know, Brother Argentina, your folks there in London already finished church. God bless you all. All tuned in. Churches all the way in Afghanistan are watching. Give them a big hand. I got an email from Afghanistan. They're watching us live every Sunday. One pastor wrote me, he says, when the internet went off, I didn't have my sermon for the week. 15, verse 15. And those of you at home, please get your Bibles. Those of you watching us, my daughter and son, I know you're watching us in Texas and New Jersey, and Antoine watching us, and Brother Chan watching us out there in California. God bless you all. They always call in and write in and tell us what they're doing. You know, Brother Argentina, your folks there in London already finished church. God bless you all. All tuned in. Churches all the way in Afghanistan are watching. Give them a big hand. I got an email from Afghanistan. They're watching us live every Sunday. One pastor wrote me, he says, when the internet went off, I didn't have my sermon for the week. This is in India. He tunes in every day, every weekend to watch this teaching, to teach his people in India. This is not just about us. There are millions being affected by that camera every day. That's why I tell the camera people, we need more camera people to work on the camera, please, and get the word of God out as ambassadors. Look at this. Read out loud. Psalm 150 verse 15. Read. May you be blessed by the Lord, who? The maker of heaven and earth. Okay, read. The highest heavens is his territory. Okay, no problem. That's in order. But the earth he gave to you. If you don't like what's happening on earth, it is your fault, God says. Stop blaming God about poverty and all the crime. God ain't nothing to do with that. God gave you the responsibility. We are as poor as we make our people. We have as much crime as we allow and train our kids to have. We destroy as many marriages as we want to destroy. We violate our physical laws and destroy our bodies with drugs and all kind of promiscuity and all kind of perversion because we decide that. God didn't do that. Can't blame him. What we need is to invite him in. Oh Lord, we need help. I say, oh Lord, we need help. Oh, please, look at Mark 11. Jesus was telling us how much power you have on earth. Here's Mark 11 verse 24. Read. Therefore, I tell you, when whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Why? Did he say you got to ask for it? Why can't God just do it? Here's why. Look at the next, Matthew 16:19. Read. I will give you what? The keys. What do keys do? They open or lock up. They give access or they stop things from happening. I will give you what? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. That means access to heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Write the word bind and loose down, please. The word bind means to stop or to lock up. The word loose means to allow or to open. He says, what happens on earth, notice the word earth at the last verse there. He says, whatever happens on earth depends on what you lock up or you open. That means God can't just come and open. He said, no, you have to lock it up, and then I lock it up. You open it, I open it. The power on earth is up to you. Here's the way I put it. God got the power, you got the license. God got the power, you got the permission. God's got the power, you got the access. And if you don't give him access, his power remains in heaven. Very important. You got the power. Here's what I want to say about prayer. Now, please write this down. Everyone, write this in your Bible, please, so you can remember what prayer is, so you can do it every day. This is why I pray every day, all day. Number one, this word prayer is an amazing word. The Hebrew word for prayer that's used all through the Bible, and this is one of the most common words used, is this word entikas. And antikos or antiexis, it actually means petition. Very important word. It means to entreat an authority, entreaty, to actually present a case before a judge. to present a petition to a government. That's what the word prayer means. In other words, in the earliest parchment that they found in the Hebrew language, the oldest writings, they find that this word actually means a petition to a superior. So when you talk about you're praying, first there got to be a government, then there got to be constitutional laws so you can have a petition. You can't petition unless there was promises. You can never petition unless there was some rights given. So petition requires the prerequisite of constitutional rights, which means that you can only pray if there is a government who gave you a constitution that has rights in it concerning you. Prayer, therefore, is not a religious activity. Prayer is a governmental activity. Prayer is basically a political act. Petitioning is not a religious act. It is a governmental act. And that's why the word is used in the Hebrew, antiexis. This word means you must bring petition to the government, the authority. Now, to understand that then, let's take another look at what prayer is. I'm going to give you some definitions to write down. And these ones, I cultivated these over 30 years. These are my results of study and understanding the mind of God and the Bible. Study, study, study. Number one, prayer is earthly license for heavenly interference. Number two, prayer is mankind giving God permission to interfere in earth's affairs. Number three, prayer is heaven's power impacting earth through man's earthly authority. Prayer is heaven's power impacting earth through man's earthly authority. Number four, prayer is mankind. I'm getting a feedback, sir. You all got to stay attention back there. Prayer is mankind giving heaven authority to perform God's word on earth. This one is very critical. Prayer is what? Read it for me. Mankind giving heaven authority to perform God's word where? On earth. One more time. Prayer is mankind giving heaven God to perform God's word on earth. In other words, God wants to do what he said on earth, but he cannot perform what he said unless someone gives him permission to do it. You know, the prophet said this, Isaiah. He says, God watches over his word to perform it. In other words, he's constantly waiting for one human somewhere to put his word in their mouth and then tell him, do it. And then now he has permission to perform that word in the earth. Very important. This, therefore, is what prayer is. Prayer is you not coming to God with your words. Prayer is you taking to God his words and then telling him, you can do it through my authority you gave me. This is why Jesus said the Father judges no man. He has given all authority of judgment to the Son of Man. Because I am a man, he says, God has given me access, and I speak only the words of my Father. Remember he said that? I do not say anything of myself, only what my Father says. Why? Because that's all I want. Now, this is why when you have a problem in life, you should never say the problem. I should park right here for 2 weeks and just preach here. Because, see, your tongue is your problem. The worst thing to do in life is to describe what's happening to you. You all better hear me. People ask me all the time, how you doing? I would tell them, I ain't got no problem. They think I'm joking with that. I say that because that's true. I want that to happen. And when I say it, it is. Let the weak say. Why? Because the Lord is my strength and my song, the Bible says. Let the poor say, rich. Why? Because he who was rich became poor so that I could become rich. He said, don't say you broke. Just say, it coming. Hallelujah. The Bible says, by the mouth of the wicked, the city is destroyed. Let me say it again. By the mouth of the wicked, the city is destroyed. I need some more volume, please. He says, but by the words of the righteous, it is established. every, that's, you know, I sit in a media place, and I say, why do y'all keep putting the murder